Welcome to Radio Mojo Plus, brought to you by Pyology Pizzeria and by Southern Glaciers Wines and Spirits, proud supporters of the food and beverage industry in Hawaii.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Joe McGarry, here to bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii, plus Bobby Curran with a little bit of sports thrown in, although I'm happy to say a lot of sports now. So now this is the first week, basketball and football. That must feel really like...
It feels full. Yeah,
it does. Like a lot going on.
Here's the thing. Everybody we talk to, I mean, we just had Coach V say, well, we hope will be a game tomorrow night at the Stan Sheriff Center. Depends on Friday's test. I mean, everybody is qualifying everything.
And do you really think that it's that close a call? Like if someone tested positive today, then there'd be no game tomorrow.
Correct.
That's really quite something.
The Big West has announced in basketball, their protocol is if someone in your traveling party tests positive, the program shut down for 14 days, which means you could miss 5 games.
That's really severe, isn't it?
It's severe. Yes, it is.
Is it the same all over the country?
No.
So that makes it even worse.
I would say it's more, the stricter it is, the closer you are to the Pacific Ocean.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's how it's striking me. It's way worse.
Does it feel more tense or right because people don't know what's going to happen? Or does it feel more exciting because, yes, perhaps we're finally going to get a basketball game and a football game in the same weekend?
Well, I just think it's what there is a level of unknown. But people, you know, humans are amazingly adaptive because I think, believe it or not, people are starting to adjust to the uncertainty of it. It's just like plan to play, and if you can't, then that's how it works. You'll adapt then, but right now the plan is to prepare for everything that's on your schedule, even though you know that it's unlikely that whole schedule is going to play out.
It does seem like we were kind of born to adapt as a species. I mean, if you think about how your body has adapted over, you know, millennia, I mean, we've got like, you know, almost a non-existent appendix now because nobody knows what it was ever there for. We've got, you know, changing, I mean, cultures change, the height of them, the size of them. I mean, it's really, we are supposed to be adaptable. So this is just adapting in a different way, I suppose.
I suppose, yes.
I'm finding, and I'm imagining a lot of other people are a little bit like this too, that the thought of, I mean, having basketball and football together, it seems like a lot. Having like the holidays seems like a lot this year for some reason. And I think what it is we usually are all working at such a frantic pace of rushing around and in and out of parking stalls and offices and shops, and that's just our norm, that the past 8 months has shown us something slightly different, particularly with driving and being busy and being in town. And I think I'm not alone in being like a little bit overwhelmed, like, oh my gosh, we just had Thanksgiving and now it's Christmas and then it's New Year and then boom, we're all back to work. So it's kind of, it is a different end to the year, which, and of course people are really looking forward to the end of the year as well. So it makes it all just kind of interesting. And of course we're probably all eating too much, which is a joy of the holidays. We're going to talk a lot about food today, actually. Our first guest this morning, coming up in a little bit, is Martha Cheng. She's the editor of Honolulu Magazine, the dining editor of that. She has a really interesting bio. She's a lot more than just one thing. And I'm looking forward to talking to her about the food scene, a little bit about the holidays, of course, because whenever we talk to foodies during the holidays, it's always fun to find out what's the best new cookbook, you know, what's something that's really going to be a great gift for a foodie during the holidays. And Martha has, in fact, written her own cookbook, the Poke Cookbook. So we're going to talk, and it's a beautiful book. It's really well done, actually. So we're going to talk with her a bit about all things food and writing and really, I think, a little bit of what to expect coming up in the next year, because 2021 is going to be different for food. I'm absolutely convinced of it. It's already showing us so many different types of restaurants. As you know, I help restaurants open, and everyone's just opening differently. I mean, there's just a different feel about when we go and talk to landlords now. It's like, well, we want outdoor seating. The restaurants want to be able to do takeout. They want a minimal-sized restaurant, big outside seating. 8 months ago, Nobody wanted that. We used to say to everyone who came into Hawaii and they said, we want outdoor seating, and we would say, no, you don't. People in Hawaii don't want to sit outside. They want to sit inside restaurants with air conditioning. So much is changing on so many different levels. So we're going to be chatting with Martha in just a bit. Stay with us for that. We're also going to be talking to Mikio Tomioka, who's the general manager of Island Vintage Wine Bar, Island Vintage Coffee. And get this, Bobby, Island Vintage Wine Bar, which is in the Royal Hawaiian Shopping Center, and is a very busy, very beautifully run little restaurant, has been nominated in the USA Today poll as one of the top 10 restaurants in the nation for 2020. Now, it's the Travel Awards, USA Today. I think you can still vote, actually. We're going to tell you all about that as they come on as guests as well. But, I mean, that's pretty big. If you're mentioned in USA Today top 10, that's huge.
No doubt.
So we're going to be talking to them. And then what I really want to do today, and hopefully it will take a bit of stress off you, as well as being helpful for Christmas, is I really want to remind everybody that a simple, simple gift, a great stocking stuffer, an easy one-size-fits-all present is a restaurant gift certificate. For years and years and years and years, way back from when I was writing midweek columns, every year I would recommend people buy restaurant gift certificates because, as I always used to say, it's the one thing I have never seen anyone return a restaurant gift certificate.
Right.
They're never going to take it back. It doesn't happen. So really, it's the perfect gift. And of course, this month, it's the perfect way to show your support for your favorite local restaurants. So if you can, and you know, the great thing about restaurant gift certificates, depending on the restaurant, I mean, from a small coffee bar all the way up, you can buy them starting at $10, $15, you know, all the way up. So anything that you can do this year to promote, to really promote and support your local restaurants, we're encouraging you to do it. And we're going to put our money where our mouth is, too, because we have purchased a bunch of gift certificates here at Radio Mojo, and we're going to be doing an Instagram campaign and letting you know more about it here on the radio as well, where you can win a really nice selection of gift cards to either keep or give away to some of our favorite local restaurants. All of our local restaurants are high on our priorities, but we've purchased a whole bunch of gift certificates and we want to give them away to you. So we're going to be giving you details of how to follow us on Instagram, and you can of course listen in here, or you can go to our website and we'll share that giveaway with you. Because I think sometimes people just don't think of that at Christmas, Bobby. It's just like, it's such an easy gift to buy, throw into somebody's Christmas stocking. Even the people that you kind of have challenges with at Christmas, like bosses or co-workers, who doesn't want to get a gift certificate?
No, absolutely. It's one of those things. Just because it's easy doesn't mean it's any less great.
And also, I think sometimes people just don't think of it as a Christmas gift, you know? And here's the thing. This year, more than ever, restaurants are encouraging you to do it. So if you buy, you'll get. So, for example, if you buy a $100 gift certificate, very common, I would say almost every restaurant is going to give you back $20 or $25.
Wow, that's high.
Yeah, it's really high. And they want you to come. Because, see, the thing about a gift certificate is, once you've given it to someone, say you give somebody a $25 gift certificate and they go to that restaurant, they're not going to spend $24.99, right? I mean, hopefully they're going to spend $35 or $40, yeah, or double it up or bring a friend.
But even, you know, the thing is, if you go with that gift certificate, even if you're over that, but still it seems like such a bargain.
Such a bargain, yeah. So it's such a good thing to do. So, yes, all of that stuff coming up today, and we will be sharing our gift certificates with you. As always, if you have questions or comments, if there's anything that you guys feel you would like to chat about this morning, we always love to hear from you at 296-1420. We rarely have enough time to talk to you, but we always like to. So if there's something that you have questions about or comments about or want to chat about this morning, then go ahead and give us a call. We'd love to chat with you. Or you can always text us questions as well at 296-1420. Very happy to answer them. Places, if you're looking for places to go for Christmas lunches, or I texted two of my friends the other day and I said, let's get together for Christmas lunch, meaning a Christmas lunch, you know, like at a restaurant, because we haven't seen each other for 6 months. And they texted me back and said, we'd love to, but we're busy on Christmas Day.
Didn't mean that. But you have to be careful, because that's one of those things that you say that you forget. You forget that that's almost a British thing.
Is it? You wouldn't say, let's get together for Christmas.
No, not unless it was Christmas. It's like, sorry, I have a family. I will not be with you on Christmas lunch. It's not a common expression.
Oh, it's not. I didn't know that. Otherwise, what should I say then? Holiday?
Yeah, let's celebrate. Why don't we celebrate? We'll get together for lunch next week.
That's so funny, because I thought, do they not remember?
You don't have to tell people it's Christmas is coming up. Just
right. They know it already. Okay, 296-1420 is the number to call us if you have a question or a comment. I think what we'll do is we're going to go for a really short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by our first guest this morning, Martha Chang. Stay with us. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus. Hey, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Jo McGarry. We do this every Thursday morning, bringing you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii. And if you want to know more about what we do with restaurants, then go check out our website at mojomcgarry.com. Martha Chang is a Honolulu and San Francisco-based writer. Her writing appears in publications such as the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post and Food and Wine. And she's also the editor, the dining editor for Honolulu Magazine. She has had so many different incarnations in her young past life, including running a rather famous grilled cheese truck. She's cooked and worked in some pretty top-notch restaurants, worked as a Google techie, and tried to teach computers as a Peace Corps volunteer. That was, of course, because she has a degree in computer science. She's joining us this morning. Oh, and she's also the author of the Poke Cookbook. Hey, Martha, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
You have a really, really nice, interesting bio. And I have to wonder, how did you sort of meander through all these routes to become really food writer, food travel writer? Tell us a bit about that journey.
I don't know. All I know it was against my parents' best wishes.
Oh, they wanted you to get a proper job.
Yeah, and they were happiest when I was at Google as a techie. So, yeah. But it's worked out really well. I think I've always been interested in a lot of different things. And I remember when I was young listening to, I think it was Tom Cruise had an interview saying that he loved being an actor because you get to inhabit different roles every few months and you get to learn about something new completely. And that's what I feel like I get to do with writing.
Especially writing about food right now, because I think there's, you know, food is so fashionable that we do go through phases, you know, we go through seasons, and I don't mean just the four of them. I mean that things become seasonal and faddish with food, and then they fade away. But I think this year there have been such distinct changes in how people are cooking and eating that it really is a benchmark, I think, for moving forward. And largely, of course, it's because of the pandemic. But I do feel that this was sort of coming anyway. What do you think? What have you been observing this year, Martha, in the whole local food scene?
I almost feel like maybe like everything is kind of this distilling what we love best and sort of letting the rest fall away. So it seems like, you know, more of an emphasis on comfort food and things that we know and love. But then also, you know, special occasions are still happening. Birthdays are still being celebrated just in different ways and anniversaries and weddings, et cetera. And so we still occasionally need that, like, excitement. So something a little luxurious.
So we're orientating towards a simpler, more stripped down way of approaching food, but even the finer restaurants are sort of getting that we want to be fancy sometimes, but not too fancy. I mean, Chef Mavro is probably a good example of what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
What do you, let's talk a little bit about that, actually. That would be a really good example of something that's changed dramatically. So for people who don't know, Chef Marvro Restaurant, which was started, I'm going to say, like, about 20-something years ago, maybe 21 or 2.
Yeah.
I don't like to say because it makes me seem really old, but yes, it was something like that. So, as everyone knows, very fine dining, top of the range. I mean, just award-winning, 5-star restaurant forever. And recently, his sous chef Jeremy bought the restaurant quietly. I think it wasn't really it wasn't really a huge deal. And that's changed. Talk a little bit about that, Martha, and how you think that might be sort of indicative of how restaurants may be changing.
Yeah, and I think it was already going down that line, right? So a lot of the more high-end restaurants, there's sort of less of them, and there's less of that production of them. Because so when I spoke with Jeremy, he actually had been planning this when he bought it. So it was kind of independent of the pandemic, but the pandemic just like really like hurried it along, made it necessary. And yeah, so I like to think of it as it's still a lot of the fine dining techniques, but just in a simpler form. And I do believe, though, that he is still planning on bringing back the tasting menus, but for now it's, yeah, definitely the more, a little bit more casual, a little more pared down, less of the whole fine dining theater.
You know, for the longest time in Honolulu, there was kind of the core guys, right? There was sort of the chefs at the top, the guys that, you know, were forever quoted for Hawaii regional cuisine, which of course was really, you know, a hugely changing movement. And then there was the second generation, the new guard, you know, came in, people like Ed and Andrew, and they brought all of the dynamism and more and more attention focused on farmers. Where do you think we are now? Is there another change coming? Are we seeing yet a different group taking over? I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of changes this year just with people like Alan change, you know, closing, and Ed Town not reopening, but that's not so much he's closing, more is that he's moving operations across the street where, you know, he has Mud Hen Water. But what do you think? Are we looking at another changing of the guard, kind of?
I'm not sure. I mean, they say revolutions happen about every 20 years.
Yeah.
So I think then maybe we're another 10 years out from another one, if we're going by that. Yeah, I haven't quite seen anything sort of as cohesive as the previous two that I've.
Because they were, to be fair, they were fairly dramatic. I mean, it went from Hawaii regional cuisine to kind of neighborhood, let's all partner with our farmers cuisine. You know what I'm seeing that I'm really enjoying is for the longest time when I was writing, I used to be very distressed because I was writing a lot about restaurants that were closing. So this was probably 10 years ago. And it was all the old restaurants that were closing, all the mom and pops and all the kind of really beloved restaurants that second generation did not want to take over. You know, mom and pop had started it. Second generation were like, we are not working in a restaurant. Yuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm really hopeful that for the first time, actually, I'm really hopeful that the local restaurants, really old ones, you know, the Highway Inn-ish kinds of restaurants, are seeing a resurgence. And it's not just that the next generation want to take them over, but they want to do it better and different. And I'm thinking, coming to mind is Nana Aikatsu, who are not taking over a family restaurant, but they're taking a traditional local, you know, kind of delicacy, beloved, you know, fried tonkatsu, and making it something that we didn't even know we wanted. I feel really happy about that.
Yeah, well, I think especially like in the Highway Inn, those kind of institutions, I do think it's interesting how some of the second generation is taking them into new directions, like, you know, Rainbow Drive-In and Young's, I believe, too, right? A lot of those older ones And even, you know, it's not the second generation, but Liliha expanding too, right? So I do think that's interesting and promising. But because I'm such a, I don't know, I think even when I was like 12, I was always nostalgic for something I never had. I do miss that sort of like that mom and pop one location that hasn't changed over time, even though knowing it's like completely financially untenable. So I understand why it needs to happen.
Yes. And I think we have to grab what we can, because we can't mm-hmm. have those old ladies in the kitchen. Like, I remember going out to Calais when I first came here, because mm-hmm. Russell Sue said to me, you should go eat Hawaiian food. And it was way mm-hmm. out at Lucy. Lucy was the owner, old lady, just incredible. Like, there was politicians sitting at the formica table. There was, you know, mm-hmm. business industry heads sitting there all eating this amazing Hawaiian food. And I was stunned. I mean, I just thought, I want to eat this forever. And then she died quite sadly quite soon after that. And I think mm-hmm. that we should grab this moment in terms of that, in terms of we're getting to taste food that has been around forever. And it looks like it might stay, which it makes me feel hopeful and happy. I wanted to ask you a little bit, too, about your cookbook. So you're the author of the lovely The Poke Cookbook, which is available on Amazon and all over the place, even at Target, I believe, if you want to pick it up locally. A great, great Christmas present. As you were writing that book, the timing of that book was really interesting, because there was that kind of short but furious discussion about poke all over the nation. Has that kind of died down now?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. There was that huge number of places just opening on the mainland. And honestly, the book came out of, it was a New York publisher trying to capitalize on on the trend. And so they asked me to write it. So it's like a pen for hire kind of thing. It wasn't exactly my idea.
Because it is nice.
But I definitely have, like, I never really intended it for a local audience to read, because, I mean, there's some things in there that I'm like, this is not poke, this is just a chopped salad. But what I did like about writing the book was it really made me start to think about, you know, what we define as, like, different cuisines, and where do we draw boundaries, and why do we need to. It was just really an interesting, like, internal discussion on my own of, like, you know, how we define food and whose food it is. And actually, that made me think, too, of, you know, ask kind of the direction of culinary. And so my grandma had opened a restaurant in San Francisco as well, too, and definitely never intended any of her, the next generation, to continue it. It was just something the only thing she knew how to do to make money, right? And while I'm sad then that no longer exists, just like it was, you know, then just a quintessential mom and pop restaurant. And while I'm sad that these will inevitably like have life cycles like these. There will always be restaurants that have these one generation life cycles. But then on the other hand, we will always have new people coming in doing the same thing. So I think we're going to get also different, more diverse cuisines. And we already have, right? Like Honolulu is so interesting for a city this population. We've had such a diversity of cuisines, right? From Ethiopian to various regions of Indian, just by virtue of the immigrants who come. And that's not going to change. And I think there's also going to be more of an increased interest in those.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be more of an appetite, too, for very authentic food. Like Istanbul, mm-hmm. that opened recently, I think is mm-hmm. a great example of that. A very passionate and devoted chef owner, Ahu, and her mum. I mean, lucky. Mm-hmm. How lucky is she that her mum's in the kitchen? But it's authentic. There's nothing about Ahu and her food mm-hmm. that isn't Istanbul. And whether you've been there or not, you can trust mm-hmm. that she's not Americanizing her dishes. she would rather stop than do that, I think.
I do think authentic, though, is a very tricky word, though. Really, because they might. Sadly, I didn't get to learn a lot of my grandma's recipes before she died. But you know, maybe just because, say, she uses shoyu in one place instead of like a darker shoyu, does that? You know, like food is very, very fluid, right? You incorporate all the influences of wherever you are, just naturally. So it's again, that goes back to when I was writing the cookbook, like trying to define these boundaries and terms, and what's authentic is very slippery and tricky and strange and wonderful and part of being human, I guess.
No, I completely agree, and that's what makes it so interesting when you start tasting certain dishes and you go, I wonder who decided to put this in, or is that really supposed to be in there? That is interesting. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, just to go back a little bit to your grandma. So were you lucky enough to be in the kitchen with your grandma? Did she teach you to cook? Were you like knee-high watching her, or were they?
Not so much, because my parents were very much, you know, they really wanted me to focus on academics. So basically, I think sometimes she'd pick me up, and then I'd sleep in the. I remember I was sleeping in the back of the restaurant, and then maybe studying in the back. But I don't think I ever worked in the kitchen with her. But like, you know, when we'd go visit her, just basic things like dumplings we used to make, and then like the cheongyeong, being the green onion pancakes. So just really simple things that I still do now. She
can
was
you
great.
Ever
My
get
mom
it to taste like your grandma's?
I think so. I mean, it's been so long now that I actually don't even know what the original maybe tastes like. So it's close enough to me, and the memories it brings back is all I really need. So yeah.
We're talking with Martha Chang. She is the food editor for Honolulu Magazine, amongst other things, and you can read her articles in many publications, including the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post and Food and Wine. So let's go back to that comment you made a minute ago about the Poke cookbook. Which would be the cookbook you would write? If someone said to you, Martha, here you go, here's a nice advance, what's the cookbook?
Oh my God, I know exactly what it is. And I'm like kind of like chipping at it away slowly. It's basically a Hawaii tropical fruit cookbook. I think we have so much interesting and beautiful fruit here. And we do have a lot of community cookbooks, and, you know, the old, like, Homaji cookbooks, or so many older ones that do talk about, do have some interesting recipes with our fruit. But there's nothing like, I feel like people are really drawn to a beautiful book, right? Something that comes out of, you know, what some of the New York publishers are doing. And I think, and I want our fruit to have that same stature. You know, I don't want it to be, as much as I love those community cookbooks, and I have so many of them, I want something beautiful and glossy, both for, like, for local people and for others, just so we can show off the diversity of fruit we have here.
That sounds amazing, and I'm happy to hear that you are chipping away at it. So it's something that you're dreaming of, but actually working towards at the same time.
Yeah.
I love
it's
it.
Been,
I love it.
A great pandemic project.
We're right in the middle of the I was talking at the beginning of the show about how I don't know if it's just me, but I think it's a little overwhelming this year that we've gone from sort of, you know, staying at home and cooking at home and just being, you know, relatively sort of taking stock, to all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's the holidays and the expectations are there for all the things that we have to do and all the gifts, and I went into a parking lot the other day and I was just like, I don't even want to be here, really. It's just too much. And I'm sure I'm not the only person who is feeling like that. But in terms of local offerings for holiday gifts, and we were talking earlier about gift certificates, of course, the obvious no-brainer. Mm-hmm. There's really a lot on offer right now from local food producers for gifts. And yes. I was wondering, is there anything that's caught your attention that you just would love to share with people?
I definitely love Manila Chocolate, and they have, for the first time ever, they're doing this all Hawaiian bundle. So I believe it was, I can't remember, it was 4 or 5 bars, all from different regions, all made with cacao from different regions around Big Island and Oahu. There's even a bar made with Mililani cacao, which I thought was crazy. It was one of my favorites too. And it's so great, right? Because I have been following Hawaiian cacao for a while, and to have so many different regions growing it now, and then to have Manila Chocolate make it, and you can really taste the differences between the two because they use the same formulation for all the bars. So you can taste the difference between like the Kola Poco one to the Mililani. So that's super fun. That's one of my favorite things.
The chocolate itself is gorgeous because they have, of course, their signature. They print all on all their chocolate, mm-hmm. and the Hawaiian ones are just, I mean, they're stunning. For a piece of chocolate, I mean, it's really, it's perfection, really. If you want to see, you know, what we're talking about, just go to manoachocolate.com because their holiday offerings are stunning. But the chocolate itself, it's like truly maybe too beautiful to take a bite out of. Okay, that's a good one. Anything else caught your attention like that, where people can be just so, it's just, I think you're so proud when you can buy, support a local company and give something beautiful at the same time.
Yeah, I also like the Slow Island, Slow Island Company on Kauai. I send my parents their wellness elixir. I've been sending them that throughout the pandemic because, you know, we could all use a little bit of an immunity boost right now. And it's this, they're really beautiful. The packaging, the bottles is beautiful. And then the syrups are great. They're great for cocktails or even soda. Soda, and then the wellness elixir is turmeric and lilikoi, if I remember, and some orange, I believe. And normally, if you drink straight turmeric, it's pretty a little like too earthy, I think. But she, with the lilikoi and the orange and everything, it just makes it super light and a little sweet and tart, and it's great.
The Slow Island Company, they're easy to find as well online. And, what a beautiful recommendation, because not only is it healthful local products, but you're right, they are gorgeous. The color is just vibrant, and you couldn't not feel good getting a gift box from them. Martha, I just still have about 100 questions I would like to ask you, or more things I would like to chat about you with, but obviously we are going to run out of time. It's been lovely to have you. I'm just wondering, share with us, what are you a big Christmas baker, eater? What will you be doing on Christmas Day? What's your dinner going to look like?
I do usually do a prime rib. Oh, and that's one thing I've got been super great and exciting throughout the pandemic is our options, our local meat options. I've never, in my time here, right, never seen such diversity and such quality and so much of our local meat. So everything from lamb to
venison
to goat, and then of course all the beef options. And so local general store, which recently opened, is basically our first all local butcher on the island. I mean, he's still a pop-up for now, but it means that I could conceivably get a local prime rib, which I've never been able to do before. So that's super exciting to me. I'll probably do like the usual like prime rib and all the fixings, and I'm definitely a huge, huge baker, so
it's a good time of year. It's a good thing to end the year on spectacular cookies and gift boxes for friends that come from local companies. Martha Cheng is the food editor of Honolulu Magazine. It's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you. I do hope that in the new year you can find some time and come back and chat with us again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
It was lovely. Take care and happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. Bye.
There you go. We are going to go and take a very short break. When we come back, if you missed any of those wonderful recommendations that Martha was sharing with us, well, some of them you will find at HonoluluMagazine.com, and we will make sure that we have them on our website, Radio Mojo Hawaii, where you can listen to this podcast. So stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Radio Mojo Hawaii. Welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Jo McGarry. We do this every Thursday morning, bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii with a little bit of sports thrown in. And we will be ending up with a little bit of sports today. We've sandwiched the sports in between the food because during the holidays, there's so many good things to share with you. And to that end, I will remind you that if you go to Radio Mojo Hawaii to catch up on some podcasts you might have missed, then you will see a week or so ago, we had some really gorgeous wine recommendations for the holidays from Chris Rommel. He'll be joining us hopefully next week to finish off the year with some Christmas and New Year's recommendations. But the ones that we have up there are really fantastic. And then later today, we're going to put up the podcast will, of course, include our interview with Martha Cheng. And we will link to some of those wonderful local companies that she mentioned. If you're looking to continue to support local food producers this year, and there's some spectacular local companies who are really, you know, it almost feels like everyone is just pushing their best foot forward. It seems to me like everything looks more vibrant and more colorful, and the packaging is just gorgeous. We mentioned that Manoa Chocolate Company have some beautiful gift boxes this year. You know, and a bar of chocolate from them starts off inexpensively. It's just a lovely gift to be giving something that's local. Something else that's happening locally, which is very exciting if you're fans of Island Vintage Wine Bar, is that they, believe this or not, this is really huge for them, that USA Today does their annual 10 Best Reader's Choice Awards for the nation, and they are a finalist in that, which is really amazing. So they've been nominated for it. They need your votes, and we are going to talk with the general manager, Makio Tomioka, is joining us. Makio, how are you?
Good morning, Jo-san. How are you today?
I'm really good. I'm very excited for you guys. First of all, congratulations on the nomination. That's really big news.
Thank you so very much. It's very, very honor for us being nominated, Hawaii restaurants nominated, and from entire nations.
Yes, it really is. Congratulations. So how did you hear about this? Do they just send you an email? Does somebody call you up? Tell us about the process.
Yes. As people may know, but the Island Vintage Coffee is in Royal Hawaiian Center, and which is very well known for the great coffee products and food products. Next to the coffee stores, we do have Island Vintage Wine Bar. We've been here about a year now, and we closed for several months for the pandemic thing. But now we are open for the 7 nights and 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and serving wonderful local products, food, well-known acai bowl, and well-known poke bowl. Poke bowl sounds very ordinary, but we do have our original poke bowl, which been created so good. And we have some of the same famous dishes, such as braised beef and Wagyu burger. Also definitely serving with the very good variety of the wine selection, and which is very convenient. Of course, we do serve glass and the bottle. Also, each glass is we have different sizes, and such as 1 ounce, 3 ounce, 5 ounce serving, and so which is very convenient. People can try many, many different type of wine. They can do fryers, and also the combination with the our food one excitement. You can visit us Island Vintage Wine Bar, and also then on the top of that, please visit our islandvintagewinebar.com. And to vote for the best new restaurant, the best new restaurant of the United States.
Wow!
Thank you.
And then there's two Hawaii restaurants nominated. The other one is the Halikalani Bakery. And if people
want
to
vote
for,
yes.
Yes, you're a big competitor. Yes, we have to let everyone know that you're both nominated. But if people want to go, there's a voting link which I'm going to put up on our website so people can go there, because it's kind of a long one to give out. But you need local people to go and vote for you. You know, you mentioned that your poke bowl is something really special, and I know it is. I know it's really popular with people who taste it for the first time. Tell us a little bit more about your poke bowl. Why is it so special?
Oh, sure, definitely. To tell the truth, my boss, owner here, Mr. Po Kang, he's originally from Korea. He also has a partner, Miss Christine Lee. She creates the menu wonderfully, and so she put some poke bowl as a very ordinary Hawaiian items, but also that she has a touch of a little bit of an Asian flavor into it, such as she used some Korean gochujang, and with the combination with the nori seaweed, and so on, also the seaweed salad into it. And so she creates some the little bit ordinary and a little bit Asian touch to it, into the poke bowl.
Oh, so
and we have a variety of fresh ahi local, salmon, and octopus. My favorite is the octopus ahi. It's so good.
Oh, it sounds really good. Now, for a lot of people, they may still think of Island Vintage as Island Vintage Coffee, which, of course, opened first, and you guys were right at the top of the escalators as you come up to Royal Hawaiian Center.
Oh, yeah, you know the place. Yeah, there you go.
Yes, of course, very well. And you, of course, have expanded to Island Vintage Wine Bar. How is it over there right now, Makio, with tourism and with local people? Are you seeing the streets getting busier? Are more and more people coming back?
I'm in the Island Vintage Coffee store right now. Well, thank you very much. We have many visitors from mainland Australia, and let's get on the line. And people waiting on the line to get a coffee, some breakfast items. I have a feeling that we have the tourists came back from the mainland and Australia, but I'm still waiting for the traffic from the Asians are still rare, very rare, because Hawaii's doors open, but unfortunately their doors closed still. And
yes,
people go back to Japan, they have to wait for the 2 weeks of quarantine. So it's not easy to come back to Hawaii. But hopefully Japanese government, they open their door. And so then that's going to bring us the business back, or our people come back to the Hawaii.
Let's hope that happens sooner rather than later. Makio Tomioka is the general manager of Island Vintage Wine Bar. They have been nominated for the USA Today 10 Best Reader Choice Awards for the best new restaurant in 2020, and they are justifiably very excited about it. If you go to islandvintagewinebar.com, you will find the very, very, very long link, which I am not going to read out to you because it would be so boring. You'll find that at islandvintagewinebar.com, and if you can give them your vote, they would appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us, Makio.
Oh, thank you so very much. Please visit us and vote us and help us for the improving the Hawaii restaurant.
We will. Very good. Thank you so much.
Sure,
that's
thank you
Island
very much.
Vintage
Great
Wine.
Great talking with you, Jo-san.
Okay,
have a good day.
Take care. Goodbye. They are very excited, justifiably very excited. Only two of them have been nominated. Anyway, if you want to help them out, go ahead, islandvintagewinebar.com. And they do have a surprising, beautiful little spot up there at Royal Hawaiian Center that if you haven't been there for a long time, and who has really, right? I mean, you'll be surprised that it's really quite lovely. Anyway, we are going to go for a really short break. We will be right back. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus. Welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Jo McGarry, plus Bobby Curran. We are bringing you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii, and a wee tiny bit of sports, although a lot more this coming weekend. You're going to be very busy this weekend.
Yep, it's going to be fun. I'm looking
forward
to it.
It's going to be fun. And I am going to be very busy because there's a ton of baking to do, which I've realized is, I'm sure I'm not alone in this, but the higher my stress level goes, the more I go into the kitchen and start baking things. And I've realized that, I think people have said that for centuries, that baking is quite relaxing and therapeutic, but I've decided that it absolutely is. As long as I can stop eating everything that I'm making, right. that would really be a good thing. Really be a good thing. I want to remind you to go to check out our radio website later on, maybe early this afternoon. We'll have the podcast version up, because there's going to be a lot of links on there today. We are encouraging all of you to, as much as possible, buy local restaurant gift certificates to give as gifts this year, anything from tiny little stocking fillers all the way up to big fancy dinners out for that special present. And we're going to have some of our recommendations for beautiful wines. Chris Rommel will join us next week to recommend more for Christmas. And then Martha Cheng from Honolulu Magazine joined us this morning with some really great recommendations for local gift giving, including one of my favorites, which is this new pop-up shop by the Butcher and Bird and the Slow Island Food and Beverage Company. They have the most gorgeous little gifts. You will absolutely love them. So no reason to be stressed about present giving this year, and no reason to not support local. We encourage all of you to do that. Well, Bobby, when we see you this time next week, it will always be Christmas, and we'll be in the midst of, hopefully, a beginning of a great basketball season.
Well, football will be over and basketball just beginning. So it's an exciting time.
Sounds perfect. I think that's all we've got time for this morning. I want to thank both of our guests. And remember, go to the Island Vintage Wine Bar website if you want to see more about what they were doing. I'm Jo McGarry. My thanks to Bobby Curran, to Tiff in the studio. We'll see you next time on Radio Mojo Plus.
Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu was brought to you by Pyology Pizzeria and by Southern Glazer's Wines and Spirits, proud supporters of the food and beverage industry in Hawaii.